It's time for the Way Highway on Adobe Radio. Brought to you by Nice Guy Digital and Dr. God Productions. With your hosts, Justin Ware and Sean Cowig.
Welcome to the Way Highway, leading green radio show exploring the wild and wunderbar world of weed.
Wunderbar.
Community curation of Cannabis Americana, hosted by two THC aficionados, me, Justin Ware.
And me, Sean Cowig. Hey. You want to know more about us in the show? Well, you can cyberstalk us right now on the information Super Way Highway at The Way Highway on Twitter.com, at Way Highway on Instagram.
Oh, thanks, Uncle Sean.
Hey,
you can write us at wayhighway@adobe.com. I don't know what accent that was.
That's weird. It was like mine, but different.
Yeah, it just kind of degenerated into like cartoon doctor.
Cartoon doctor. Well, that's a good genre to be in.
Yeah, you know.
Hello, I'm cartoon doctor.
Cartoon doctor. There's not a lot of doctors in cartoons, primarily because if they had to go to the hospital after they get hurt all the time, it would really slow the cartoon.
That's really true.
Yeah.
Man, that's true.
Like Wile E. Coyote would be like, this episode just stopped because he had to go get his leg recessed.
Oh, man, like the dynamite blew up in my face and now an ambulance needs to be called. I need to go to the burn ward.
To the Acme and burn ward.
And then it's years of recovery as parts of his lower self is, put and then grafted. And the hair grows back, and then, but so you have to watch the cartoon for a good 7 to 12 months.
It's rough.
It's tough.
It's rough.
That's. I'm glad that cartoons aren't that, and just they're cartoons.
Yes, me too. Did you ever read? They had the. I don't know. I saw it all online, but it was the rules for Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote that Mel Blanc or whoever it was set up the rules that always had to be followed.
Okay, no, good.
Episode.
Hit me, good. Hit me with some rules.
We'll have to put them up online.
We'll put them up online.
I don't remember all of them.
Hit me with the
rules.
But
I remember some of them was that Wile E. Coyote always needs to be hurt by his own choices.
Yeah, so the Roadrunner's not doing anything.
Right.
The Roadrunner's just avoiding things that are happening.
Right.
Yep.
Roadrunner always has to stay on the road, hence the name.
Okay, yeah, he has to stay on the road, yep.
The Roadrunner can only ever say meep meep. That's the only dialogue that's ever allowed in the thing.
Cool.
Things that that Wile E. Coyote uses have to be from Acme.
Yeah, okay.
There's a couple other... that ways he can get hurt is either via gravity or via an invention falling apart or whatever. It's pretty cool.
It's an interesting formula in that there's no kind of bad guy. Wile E. the Coyote is sympathetic despite the fact that he's trying to kill the Roadrunner, and the Roadrunner, although pretentious, is not malicious. And I kind of, I feel for each one of them kind of equally but different. But there's no bad guy.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a bad guy.
Wile E. Coyote is, it's a Sisyphean story of continuing to push the boulder up the hill. And it comes back down.
Yeah,
but
truly.
Yeah.
Wow. There's some stoner out there who's listening to this on an old transistor radio for some reason, even though this isn't internet radio. He has a Bluetooth thing. So like an old transistor and he's got knobs and he's sitting in front of it in his pajamas, and his mind just exploded when you brought up Sisyphus.
I hope so much. And if you're out there, wayhighway@adobe.com is our email. I hope that there's a guy right now in his pajamas in front of a transistor radio. Nothing would make me happier.
Whoa. Well, it is, what is it, just after 7 on the East Coast? But,
it's
later
four.
In England. Somebody in London's bedtime.
Also, they'd just be listening to the podcast.
Oh, they could just be listening to the podcast.
At any time.
Yeah, truly.
So to that guy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Jimmy Pajamas.
Jimmy Pajamas.
Jimmy Pajamas.
Love Sisyphus.
We don't have Jimmy Pajamas with us today, but we do have James Kirkland.
Yes, Can't wait.
Is going to be joining us after the break to talk about the Bill Walton mysteries and probably a whole bunch of other things, too, which we don't even know what they're going to be yet.
We're
going to
find out.
We are going to find out. But before we do that, let's do a little little product review.
Do you want to know about this?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. What do you got here?
So what I have for us here today, I'm very excited about. I'm actually excited about the life of this beyond today as something I'm going to try during the day. It's Papa and Barkley. It's their relief capsules. So these are 30 to 1. They're, each capsule itself is 30 milligrams, and it's 30 to 1, 30 CBD to 1 THC. And I used to be nervous about any sort of like dosage of THC during the day. But what I realized when talking to my bud tender today at Compassion Union, which is fantastic, big shout out to Compassion Union, that is a dispensary here in Los Angeles, in North Hollywood, Van Nuys and Lancashire, if you're looking for it, Compassion Union, I love you. What he made me realize is he's like, I'm like, yeah, but the like 30 to 1, is it's not maybe not something I want to take before work? And he's like, I don't see why not. You smoke weed, right? And I'm like, yes. And he's like, so there's THC in your system. And I was like, oh, yeah. Like if I vape before I go to bed, there's THC in my system. It hasn't left by the time I get to the morning. So putting like the one part of this, like it out of 30 milligrams, 1-point-something milligram is not really going to affect me the way a person who doesn't smoke weed would. Someone who doesn't smoke weed maybe from a 30 to 1 will be like, I'm a little high. But for me, I'm going to be just fine. So this is what we're going to try. You want to try one?
Yeah. The argument also is that the a teeny bit, a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. That for the CBD to be at like a little bit of THC will sort of activate the CBD in a way that just pure CBD without any THC in it doesn't really
Absolutely. So this is the Pop and Barkley Relief Capsule, good for whole body wellness, inflammation, and muscle recovery.
Also, it looks like, from the picture, it looks like Barkley's a dog.
Yeah, because that's Papa and Barkley.
Yeah,
and
there's an old guy and
a dog
on the
which
box.
Is adorable.
I'm going to assume that Barkley's the dog. And it says in the description that the original balm was inspired by a son's mission to ease his elderly father's debilitating pain.
Adorable. And to be honest, to be truthful, just to say, to let you know, I've used the Pop and Barkley Relief creams, the balm.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. It's wonderful. It's like, Tiger Balm on THC. It's just way better.
The lid looks like it's made out of wood, although I think this is probably a plastic veneer.
Yeah, maybe. But
maybe not. I don't know.
So,
sucker for a little wood decorating.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. We'll let you know both today. We took one pill. These capsules are vegan. Ingredients: coconut oil and cannabis. Vegan capsule, 30 milligrams, so you don't have to worry about that. Best taken with food. Oops.
Wah, wah.
Oh, man. So take them with breakfast is what I'll be doing. But I'll come back in future episodes, let you know, as I got a 7-capsule sampling to see how I like it during the day. I didn't, go for the full 30 capsules because it's kind of expensive.
That's a good idea.
It's not cheap. But we'll let you know how it goes both today and in the future.
We will. And, you know, as we take these things, we always like to remind you about some of the dangers of traveling on the way highway.
Absolutely.
This one in specific we chose for our guest, who is as you will learn later, a fan of the great game of ball and hoop.
Yes.
Also known as basketball. So here's a little PSA for the way highway.
I'm Michael Jordan. McDonald's restaurants have given me this time to talk to you about something we both really care about, kids. Kids are the reason McDonald's sponsors their Get It Straight program, a national drug awareness effort. Think about this. Many of you using drugs out there now are under 18. Do you realize that at 18, you have lived only 1/4 of your life? When you're using drugs, you're only cheating yourself out of the chance to find out who you really can be. And believe me, if you don't use drugs, you can just about be anything you want to be. Listen, you got at least 3/4 of your life to go. That's 3 more lifetimes to you. So don't blow it. Don't do drugs. If you're doing it, stop it. Get some help. McDonald's wants you to give yourself a chance. A chance to find out all the wonderful things you really can be. And so do I.
Oh, man.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike and McDonald's, which is like
McDonald's. Hey, I mean, you might die of a heart attack from eating their food.
That's.
But
I wonder if they have to make your lifespan so short because it's McDonald's.
Well,
because
what is 18? That'd be 30. That's 72.
Yeah,
right?
Which
so
is like
you're saying you die.
Oh,
at 72,
man,
that's about right.
Come on, guys.
72. I feel like for someone that eats McDonald's every day is probably the upper.
It's
limit.
Probably great.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. The tail end's probably not great.
I would say, though, that, like, I mean, maybe not, you know, like, heavy drug users, but there's no question in my mind that if you smoke a lot of weed or if you eat McDonald's every day, which one of those two people is probably in more trouble?
Yeah, I know, right?
Although I guess sometimes, you know, they go together a little bit, you know?
Whenever we play the PSAs, I like to think of, like, the people involved and how seriously... Right. How serious they look while doing the thing.
God damn it, Janet. We want another take.
Or like that guy playing guitar in the background.
How, yeah.
And it all stems back to, remember when the first Guardians of the Galaxy came out? And there was that like blip of Vin Diesel recording Groot. And he's in a recording studio yeah. and the microphone's hanging down. He's wearing sunglasses and he's like, I am Groot. And it's like so like serious. Like he's wearing sunglasses. And it looks like he's kind of dressed up. And the microphone's hanging. He's not even like sitting down, he's like standing up. So I like to think of it like that. Like that guy is in a recording
in
studio
zone, man.
With an air machine blowing his hair, and he's standing on a box for some reason when it's not like conducive to what he's doing, but he's like playing the guitar and it's so serious.
Yeah, and he went home and he's like, I worked with Michael Jordan today.
Today I lived.
You know, there's a couple great ones of these. My favorite ones of those are the green screens where the motion captures.
Uh-huh.
There's a really good one of Benedict Cumberbatch as Smaug.
Right. So serious.
And he is crawling around on the ground.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he's doing the burglar, do you and he's like crawling around on the ground.
It's so serious.
And it, you know, and what's funny is that when you see it as the dragon in the movie, you're like, oh, it sounds
perfect.
Cool,
yeah, great.
But it looks absurd.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's absolutely 100% absurd. And
yeah.
Good on you, Benedict Cumberbatch, for being able to do that.
It's harder than people think to act in front
I
of a green
screen.
I can't
imagine, man.
When people are like, all right, now you have to imagine the ship is exploding
right.
And you're running. And you're just in a room.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. Or like, especially acting against CG
right.
characters.
Right, yeah.
They're like, all right, now you're really upset with...
Jar Jar Binks.
With Jar Jar.
With Jar Jar fucking Binks. And he's like, I wonder if they told him, like, do you have, oh man, could you imagine?
You don't even know what a lot of these characters are.
Could you imagine if that was a surprise? If it was a surprise that you were like, oh, I'm sure it'll just be like, me, sir. But then, like, you see the thing and you're like, oh, that's what Jar Jar Binks was?
You know what?
Oh,
that happens.
Man.
You don't know, like, we don't know what it's going to look like. You don't know
like. It was an idiot the whole time.
It's like the worst whodunit.
Yeah.
Speaking of whodunits, we are going to be joined by James Kirkland after the break.
Yes.
We're going to talk a little mystery.
Yes.
And probably some basketball and probably some other random stuff as well.
Yes.
So we're going to take a little break with a little Chase the Devil by Max Romeo, and we'll be right back with James Kirkland.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to The Way Highway.
Hello and welcome back to
I'm
The Way
Justin.
Highway. I am Sean.
And Papa and Barkley are with
Papa
us.
Papa and Barkley's
in
here.
But most importantly,
please.
We have a guest for you today.
Wow. Am I being heralded right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it trumpets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Author. Fanfare?
It's actually Battlestar Galactica. Author, performer, comedian, all sorts of the good stuff, James Kirkland.
Thank you. Hello. Good to be here. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you.
And you've got a lot of merch for your, you got a t-shirt, you got the poster.
I do. Yep. T-shirt, the Bill Walton Mysteries poster, Friend of the Devil, the Bill Walton Mysteries. I don't want to be too selly, but we are available on Amazon.com and Audible.
You can be you
a subsidiary of Amazon.com.
Yeah, pimp your stuff. Well, that's
speaking
all good.
Speaking of Amazon, I was thinking about, as you guys were talking about Roadrunner.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How Acme, I mean, Amazon is basically Acme.
Oh, man,
it's
totally
just a place you can literally order anything from.
Oh, it's so
And as a kid, I was always like, oh, I wish I had an Acme. But we do. We have Acme now. We can get anything.
Gosh.
Anvils. I'm
yeah.
sure you can get anvils.
You can totally get rocks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Drones.
And they deliver by drone. Right. Like, that's
they
how.
Are delivered by drone.
And that's how I thought a lot of the stuff came. Was like a plane, an Acme plane would come over and drop stuff in like a box.
Man.
And then all the four sides would open up and it'd be like a motorcycle or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you were never. I think when the one you were never allowed to like see anyone from Acme.
Right. No, there's never an employee, which is kind of how they are now. Right?
Yeah, it is kind of how they are now.
These subcontractors that come to your house and are like, "Hello, Amazon," and you're
Yeah. I feel like the last few things I got from Amazon were like from an unmarked vehicle.
Yeah, yeah. I seen a
well,
dude.
They,
I saw a dude with like a Honda Civic.
Now, yeah.
Yeah.
Just pull, yeah. Like, pull packages yeah. and it's like a little Honda Civic. And I remember I saw one guy get out and he left his door open. He was just like sprinting up there. I'm like, oh man, someone could jump in here and steal who knows what.
Oh man.
Some
They have pretty rigorous. Yeah, rigorous being the polite term for it, but like delivery schedules and like everybody there is like
grueling.
Yeah, it's crazy. Grueling would be another word for it.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I recently moved, and I'm lucky enough.
Congrats,
a very good friend of mine is letting me stay in their house, so I'm up in like hills right now. I'm in technically the Hollywood Hills.
You made it,
right? I made it. But I ordered.
Looks like you made it.
I ordered
Hollywood Nights.
I ordered Postmates. And so when my food was coming, my Postmates was close by. I went outside and the car pulled up and there were three teenagers in the car. Three. Mm-hmm. And the dude, the male teenager in front that was driving did not move, did not look at me, did not roll down his window, just had a forward stare, did not move. The teenage female sitting next to him in the passenger seat was just kind of like wiredly looking around like, what just happened? What just happened? Oh, man, what just happened? Male teenager in back rolled down back window and just looked at me and said, pizza Chinese. And I said, pizza. And he was like, okay. And like pulled up the pizza and put the Chinese food bag down and handed it to me. And I took it and I was like, thank you. And he's like, no problem. And rolled his window up and they like drove away. And I'm like, that's three teenagers working for Postmates, haven't been working for it for long at all. And it's the first time they drove up into the Hollywood Hills and didn't
know
what was going
on. I wonder when you mentioned that, like, if you were like a teenager right now, like no one tells you like your friends in the car, right? Or whatever. Like,
bingo.
Could you do a Postmate job? Be like, hey, we're going to go out Friday night. We're going to work Postmates. We're going to make a little money.
We're
going to get
dudes.
Stoned and just drive around.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
what was happening, right?
Definitely happening.
That's definitely what was happening there. Yeah.
That's not, I mean, that's
how
not like,
I mean, that's playing with fire. How long before you dip into that Chinese or pizza?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so tempting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your car is full of delicious smells the entire time. Stoned as heck.
Right. People are calling the Chinese restaurant. They're like, you guys forgot the Mugu Gai Pan. And we're like, we didn't forget the Mugu Gai Pan. They just, you know, typically
it's called taxes, bro.
Taxes. I get four fries.
Yeah. They're never going to know how many fries there are, bro. You can't count fries. It's impossible. Just put a light on them.
That's
oh,
so
man.
Funny.
That's great.
Yeah, I would
that's
definitely
great.
Do that.
Write
I would definitely
that
have
down.
That job.
Yeah.
If I was a teenager, for
right.
sure.
Oh,
for
totally.
Sure.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's we've tried, we've ordered like weed delivery on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not very, very fast.
It's hilarious.
No,
but yeah.
But
no.
It's like, yeah.
It's never known
are,
for speed.
No.
Weed delivery was never, it's never like, it's not like Acme.
No,
certainly not.
Yeah,
drone weed delivery though. There you go.
That would be better.
So I'd love to ask you actually some questions here.
Please.
You must be a basketball guy.
I am. I am.
So what was the initial like? Did you want to write a mystery first?
Yes, I love Jack Reacher novels.
Okay,
like,
sure.
I've read all Jack Reacher novels, and I think I've read almost every Harry Bosch novel now. Michael Connelly. Mm-hmm. I love those kind of serialized mysteries.
Yeah, and it's a lot of Reacher books, aren't there?
It's a
like
lot
40
of
them. Of
Reacher, he kicks a lot of ass.
Yeah,
in a lot of countries, a lot of small towns.
Yeah. Has sex with a lot of random women that he'll never see again.
Look,
after he puts
he's
his
always
clothes in the trash.
The, you know, the at the wrong place at the wrong time, but he's the right guy for the job, and he takes care of his grown man business.
I've read a bunch of those as well.
Yeah, I love them. Yeah. So I was just like, I love those books. I love the guy's story, Lee Child's story, how he's entertainment guy for a long time in England, and it was just like got fired and had a year of money to write one book,
mm-hmm.
and it was Reacher. Mm-hmm. It was the only series of books he's ever cared. The only character he's ever created,
mm-hmm.
and now he just writes one a year. And he lives in his New York penthouse, smokes his silk cut cigarettes, and just like pours a cup of coffee. I read that in the profile of him. He says he drinks 12 to 20 cups of coffee a day.
Oh, awesome!
Chain smoking and and then he's total seats of pants writer. Which is like, if you in the writing, you kind of have, you have outliners or you have
mm-hmm.
pantsers.
Mm-hmm.
And seated pantsers are the ones who are just like, I don't know what the plot is. I'm basically writing and improvising. Improvising as I write. And then whatever I write, like a good improv scene, remembering the characters and establishing the world.
Uh-huh.
And he just goes for it. Like, I remember in this book, he's like, it's like, the big guy was hard to bury. And it was like that. And then it goes on to describe these three guys burying this huge body of this guy named Cheever. And he's just tying it out. And it says Cheever was finally buried. Everything went perfect. Everything except for the train that was supposed to get there at 10:58 was 6 minutes early.
Yeah.
And at 10:52, a train rumbled by. And on that train was Jack Reacher. And it's like, and then he's like, done for the day. And then the guy was like profiling him. He's like, who's Cheever? He's like, no idea. Let's get a drink. And then like next day, he's going to figure it out.
That's crazy because those books are pretty, it feels like the reveals, maybe the reveals feel effective because he didn't know they were coming either.
Yes. I think that's true. But in the process that I had, I did not do that. I definitely was an outliner.
Mm-hmm.
And so the genesis of it was me being in a Laker game with my buddy Joe, and we were just talking about Reacher. He also loves Reacher novels, and I was just like, we're trying to brainstorm, like, what is the hero? Like, how do you come up with a hero detective? There's so many have been done.
Yeah.
How do you do one? And I was just thinking, like, how do I make a story that would excite me enough to make me pumped to be at the keyboard, keep me at the keyboard for long periods of time? Because it is it's a haul. And so I was at the basketball game. And I was like, what about the Bill Walton mysteries? And he was like, write it.
Yes.
Write it and I'll help you write it. And so we like got together. And he helped me with the outline. Then I went off and just jammed it out as much as I could. And fortunately, like the relationship between Bill Walton and Dave Pasch is basically my favorite show on television. They have these Pac-12 games that they call, and Walton is every night he's talking about. I mean, it's the same kind of stuff because he's the same character,
right.
You know. But it's always different. It's basically the greatest live television. And then it's like he's got the straight man Dave Pasch, who's just constantly annoyed. Can't believe he's partnered with him. He's always trying to get back to the game. Walton will talk him nothing about the game.
Amazing!
It's beautiful.
Did you have to like deal with them at all in terms of calling it having it be Bill Walton? Like, have you had any communication with like his people or anything like that? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I think he has the book. We gave a book to Dave Pasch as well. Just kind of asking their permission. Well, we were gonna like first approach and be like, can we have permission? But I was like, you know, I think it's better to beg forgiveness in this case than to ask. Because, like, if you have nothing and it's like, what about this? And so you'd be like, no.
Yeah.
But if you have, like, hey, look, I wrote a book, it's already done.
Right.
Are you going to be the dick now who says, I'm suing you for meager income that you've made on this? You know, big pot. So basically, we've heard nil. And unfortunately, in this case, I think silence is consent. So going forward, and it is total fiction. I mean, it basically lives in an alternative dimension, and there is some precedent as well. There was a book called "Hope Never Dies" that was released last year. It was an Obama Biden mystery,
right?
Uh huh.
And it imagined like Joe Biden and Joe Biden's favorite Amtrak conductor is murdered, And he gets on the case, and then Barack is like in the darkness smoking cigarettes and is like, Joe, you need my help. Look, Joe, do you need my help? And then they go off solve mysteries. I read it. I did not like it.
Okay.
I thought it was a great idea.
Yeah.
But the jokes were just very like dad Biden jokes.
Right.
And it didn't quite execute the mystery. It didn't take itself as enough seriously enough. And so with this, we just wanted to make a great mystery and do like a really serious whodunit, basically,
right.
But thriller. Mm-hmm. But then with these characters that are so crazy, and we heightened them and kind of took it to an alternative dimension. So,
Are you going to keep going then?
Yeah, I think there's. I don't want to spoil the book.
Okay, yeah. Don't spoil. No spoilers.
But there is sequels in the works.
Okay,
Right now it's being visioned as a trilogy.
Okay. Okay.
A trilogy of Walton mysteries.
Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's going to go forever. It's not like The Grateful Dead. It's not like Bill Lesh. It's not like Bobby Weir.
Yeah.
It's not Jerry Garcia in 1963 in Burbank. Seeing each other for the first time, getting together, feeling the vibes.
It does sound like you know the character.
Please. Yes, I've lived him. I loved him. He's poured through my fingertips. You know what the great Hemingway said? All you need to do with writing is sit at the typewriter and bleed. And that's what I did. I bled all over the typewriter. It was disgusting. I had to clean it up.
But so far, no response yet. So you're just kind of going to ride it out.
Hey, man, what are you trying to snitch on me here, bro?
What are you doing? I thought maybe he'd be flattered. Maybe he'd come in.
This guy's wearing a wire, which is crazy because we're talking about microphones.
I thought the same thing. If, like, you know, if
I'd
woke
be flattered
the
as
next
shit
day,
if someone wrote the Justin Ware mysteries.
Right, yeah. And then somebody wrote the James Kirkland mysteries, and I found out about it, and I read it, and it was good.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was a hero. I'd be stoked.
Right.
But I don't think that he's read it. I think he reads what he wants to read.
It's like, okay.
He who knows what he does with his free time?
I know. He bikes.
Anything.
He listens to the Grateful Dead. He follows around Neil the Real. Okay, yes. He feels it, the vibes. He grows the tree, the giant sequoia.
We talked a couple, like a month ago on this show. I'm sure you've read about this, being an NBA fan, about Don Nelson.
Oh, Donnie Nelson. I don't want to say that. Donnie Nelson
Hawaii.
Might make a cameo.
Oh, do it.
In the next book. Because Donnie Nelson's vibes now are so literally high.
Playing poker with Willie Nelson and like his neighbor now, just like smoking weed. And I guess now he grows.
He's in business,
yeah.
I think he's all in, yeah. I love that.
It's got. I mean,
we believe the We Believe Warriors.
I love it. I love it. The NBA like seems to me if there's going to be the first league that is probably going to ease back on.
I believe the NHL already has.
Oh really?
Yeah. But I want to look. Maybe at the break we'll look
Canada
that up.
Canada is totally legal. So
yeah.
It's like, how are you going to be?
It's hard. Yeah. It's what are you going to do?
NHL. Right. Yeah.
True.
Like it's there's not even one province.
Yeah.
Not even Manitoba's like
not even Newfoundland. But they do. I mean, it makes sense for pain management. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous that it's not available, but
it's absolutely ridiculous. Like you'll do so much more damage trying to like recover from workouts with your muscles or like anti-anxiety or anything, but with like pharmaceuticals. Like you will end up if you just go to GNC and go willy-nilly, you'll end up taking something you're not supposed to take. But if you're just taking CBD,
I am a little worried about weed now. I have to say because of the corporatization of it. I honestly have to say that since it's become the more legal it gets, the less I smoke.
Interesting.
I feel like it's just like, it's just not cool.
I find
it's
that
not
like
cool to be so legal.
Yeah,
it's definitely less subversive feeling.
Right.
You know, you're like,
it also is really interesting to think about, like, even like when you know it's illegal, and the idea that when you are already paranoid that you're doing something illegal, and then you smoke when you're a teen and it was so illegal
in
places,
right.
And then the paranoia.
And you can get in real trouble.
You can get in real trouble, and you'd get really paranoid.
Yeah.
And now that it's not, there is a bit, and I do think it's good that the teens or whatever, the kids who are first experimenting with cannabis, they don't have that pressure of the illegality, and then maybe they have a completely different experience with it, which is cool.
Yeah, maybe.
I find as it gets more and more legal, I smoke less weed, meaning literally smoking flour and am getting more into everything else.
Right.
Like
all the accoutrements.
Yeah, all the accoutrements. Like a Papa and Barkley, like a relief capsule like this, or that bomb.
Papa and Barkley. I just switched my
sounds like a nice New England company.
Papa and Barkley.
I just switched my subversive behavior over to arson.
Cool.
Oh yeah, so, yeah. That's yeah. still hot.
Actually we gotta take a break right now. And
Fuego.
We're going to, on Fuego, little Nina Simone, speaking of on Fuego, Cinnamon, and we'll be right back with James Kirkland.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Welcome back.
Hey, welcome
to the
back.
Way High Away. I'm Justin.
I'm Sean.
Hey.
And that's James.
That's me.
That's you.
This is a pretty cool poster. We'll put this up on our Instagram, but I want to say I really like the outline of the court in the water at the bottom. That's very nice.
Some subtle details in there. It's just like a dangerous place to play a little round ball.
Oh, yeah.
But that poster, it does look like a Jack Reacher cover or like one of those kind of trade paperbacks you get at the airport.
Yes, great. That's what we're going for.
Yeah, okay.
I'm glad that you saw that. Yeah, that's definitely what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
My friend John Morrow did that. He's a great artist. An incredible guy, johnmorrow.com. Check him out.
Yeah, I crank through mysteries too, man.
I love them.
I do too.
And have you ever tried to write one?
I mean, as a screenwriter, I have.
Yeah.
You know, that's sort of my day job. And,
right.
And I have there, but I haven't, and I've written other fiction, but like I haven't decided to do it. But it's definitely on my writerly bucket list.
Yes.
And it's crazy. I mean, they're ravenous, the appetite for them. I mean, because people who read mysteries read 30 of them a year.
Right.
I mean, they blast through them.
Yeah. And I always liked it when I would find a mystery that I would like and then realize it was like one of 17 others. And I was like, yes. So that's what the idea of this was like, okay, a character, a couple characters who I would just fall in love with and be able to kind of write a bunch of. But starting with the trilogy first is the idea.
And you don't do the 12 to 20 cups of coffee.
I mean, when I'm writing, it's the coffee is involved.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. The stimulants are involved.
Are you a morning writer or are you a late night writer?
I'm a morning writer.
Yeah,
for
me
sure.
too now, man. I can't do the late night.
No. I used to be for sure. When I was growing up in high school and stuff, I was such a night owl, such a night owl, even after night owl. But now I'm old and now I love the morning. Love the mornings. Oh my gosh, so much energy to create.
Yeah.
Crack the knuckles, sit down at the keyboard, turn off the internet, get some songs blasting, and then see if you can jam out 2 or 3 hours, and then until you're just like, okay, I need to go exercise.
Or what do you write to musically?
Usually like soundtracky stuff.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Epic. I stuff with words gets just distracting for me. Pop songs, love songs don't really do it unless I'm really like trying to get into the genre mood of whatever scene it is. And I was like, oh, I need this. Or I did a lot of Dead. I have to say, right?
Yeah.
Especially the first like month and a half, I would just be like, I would turn on a random Dead concert, and then 17 hours later, when it was wrapping up.
He's gonna crush the game.
You're gonna win.
Like, there's
easily,
no way you're
man.
Gonna win the game so easily. But hopefully, our listeners will be like interesting and like
the
little bits of factoids that come with it. Plus, I threw a little wrinkle in.
Ooh, a wrinkle in
I
time.
I threw a little wrinkle into it.
So we like to do a game.
Yeah.
Every episode.
I like games.
And boy, did we go straight at the bullseye for this one, Sean?
Yeah,
so why don't you explain?
This is a little game.
This is like questions like, what is your book title?
What is the title? Yeah. Where
the Devil of Bill Walton Mysteries, available on Amazon.com.
How old are you? No. So this is a little game that we call Strainor.
Is it a strain or something else?
So strain of weed or other category of thing, right?
Yeah.
And so this time we've got strain or Grateful Dead song.
Oh, yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
But here's the wrinkle, because they're the Grateful Dead, right? In here, there's a third option to get it right. Wow! That is when my chair's...
Yeah, Sean's chair just took a dive.
Sean went low.
Got low with it.
Got low on the way highway.
Is it a strain? Is it a Grateful Dead song, or is it in fact both?
Beautiful.
So strain or
I love this.
And some of these are not both.
Some of these are not both. Like, some of these, like, one or the other, or both. Right?
Okay, all
right. So number one, morning dew.
That's definitely a strain of weed. That's even on both.
It's actually, I could not find it as a strain of weed.
Wow.
I could not find morning dew, but it sounds like it would be. And so when I typed it into Leafly and it was like, no, it didn't come up. I'm like, that can't be right, but I'll believe it.
I'm pretty sure I've smoked morning
dew. Have you smoked morning dew?
I mean, I can't guarantee it.
Right? It's weird. It's
Leafly's
a phantom.
Leafly's pretty thorough, though.
Leafly's very thorough, and I don't know why it wasn't on there.
Doesn't it account what, like, high school drug dealers called the weed?
Yeah. Well, in that case, we're all
then all of these games are obsolete. But Morning Dew is definitely side two, track seven from The Grateful Dead, the album of the it's from the debut album by Grateful Dead, released in March of 1967. The self-titled album, but then also
Bobby Weir, Phil Lesh, Bill Grootsman, Pink Ben.
Number two, Stella Blue.
Both.
Stella Blue is definitely both, yes. It's side one, track four from Wake of the Flood, the sixth studio album by Grateful Dead, released October 15th, 1973.
Wake of the Flood, the Missoula Flood. Seismological event that changed the North American continent. Please continue.
A 70% sativa strain from Humboldt County, said to give you happy giggles, you can use for either fun focus or laid-back relaxation.
It does work, I've had, yes. Both for fun giggles and laid-back relaxation.
Which also sounds like it wouldn't work. Like, if you're making me giggly, how am I going to fun focus? But I guess it's a fun focus.
Is it true? Is this sidebar? Do you guys know that is a rumor is true that there's actually just like one or person who just tries the flower and then says it's if it's indica or sativa?
Oh, wow.
Because
everything
has been hybridized much throughout the years.
Yeah.
No one really knows unless you have like the lineage, like it's a family tree.
Right.
And you can trace it all back. But sometimes some of the family trees get a little squirrely.
For sure.
So, like, some person's like, what do you think? And he's like a sommelier of flour, and he's like, sativa. And that's
amazing.
And then it gets stamped.
Who's that guy?
That guy's amazing.
Or gal.
Or like dog.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it's Barkley.
Barkley knows.
Barkley.
Number three, The Other One.
That's got to be just a song.
That is just a song. It's side two, track five from Grateful Dead, the second live album by Grateful Dead, released in October of 1971.
Recorded live in Stanford, Connecticut.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. That might not be true. Number four, Koala Sunrise.
Both.
It's just a strain. According to all of my Wikipedia research, there's not a Koala Sunrise Grateful Dead song. Have you listened to Koala Sunrise?
Of course.
Oh, my God.
Australia, 1972.
Really, the funny story thing about it is, maybe it is. Maybe at one point during a concert, they were like, this is Koala Sunrise.
But did you check it? Jerry Garcia songs.
I got to call Jerry Garcia.
Could be a Jerry Garcia band.
Man, you know what? This whole quiz is bullshit now. Number five, Jack Straw.
That's just a song.
That's just a song. Yeah. That is just a song. Side two, track four from Europe 72. A live
triple album. It won't
be just a song
the second anyone hears this, though, because they'll be like, there's no Jack Straw yet, guys.
Quick make Jack Straw. And Jack is like, that's tricky because there's a lot of Jacks.
A lot of Jacks
in Herrera. The rebiz. Yeah. A lot of Jacks. Number six, Banana Punch number nine.
Both.
No! There's no Grateful Dead song, Banana Punch number nine?
Are we sure? How do we know?
We don't know.
It was Helsinki. It was 1973.
Know.
They were making music that will never be heard again.
Banana Punch number nine is definitely a cross between Banana OG and Purple Punch, and it's also a pretty fairly new strain, so check it out. Number seven, Alabama Getaway.
That's a song.
That's just a song, yeah. Side one, track one from Go to Heaven, the 11th studio album by The Grateful Dead, released on April 28th, 1980.
So close.
Number eight, Dark Star.
Oh, well, that's got to be both.
It is both. It's got to be both. Side one and all of side one. It's the entire side one of the Live Dead.
Of course. There's not enough sides for that. Both sides now.
It's really
Joni Mitchell,
amazing,
Canada.
Right?
What a beautiful woman. Yes, Neil Young.
I love that one side of an entire tape was like a 24-minute song by The Grateful Dead.
Did you
Dead.
Do the
that's
tapes
amazing.
When you were younger?
No, actually, my dead fanship, I was like into hip hop and stuff when I was growing up in Portland, and then got into like rock and roll in college, and then I'd only really got into the Dead recently, like more, it was from the documentary that I saw that, what's his name, did, Scorsese?
Oh.
Did a great Dead documentary. And I watched like 5-6 years ago, and I was like, whoa, the Dead are kind of awesome. Because I was just always like, I don't know. I kind of just dismissed them as being like hippy dippy, and the songs were too long. And then I was like, wait, no, these guys were the best. So, so it coincided with me writing the book, was me getting deeper into the Dead than I've ever been before. And I saw a live show, not them, not Dead and Company, but I've heard John Mayer is trying his level best. He's going up there. He's shredding. He's channeling Jerry. It's a band called The Grateful Shred.
Okay.
And they played at the Tetragrammaton Ballroom.
Yeah.
And it was unbelievable. It felt like seeing. And it was a bunch of young guys, and they're just kind of like. It felt like going to see like the young Dead. Like that wasn't like the old. Because in college I went to go see Bob Dylan and Phil Lesh and friends in Maine.
Oh, nice.
And it was so cold. So cold.
Maine will do
and
that.
And I remember
to you,
being
yeah.
like, just like smoking tiny little bowls. And like, and then
Bob Dylan was like barely moving.
Maybe I was like, not a great show on his endless tour. Not one of his good ones that he's remembering.
Oh,
and there's like some hippie girl who's just like spinning around me. And I couldn't quite like find my space. And I'm just like, this is what I associated the Dead with for a long time.
Oh, man.
Freezing cold Maine dome.
Oh, being from New England, that just brings me back to like weed back in the day. All not legal, but also like trying to smoke a bowl, cold outdoor, wind chill, wind. Like can't get a lighter to light, like nothing. Joints are just going out. Oh, man.
Struggles.
And now here we are in California with vapes.
Yeah, they don't even have to worry about that. It's true. They don't have to be like, we're vaping now. Oh, look at us. Fine.
You kids today don't need to, you've got your vapes and your cartridges.
We had to smoke uphill both ways.
Yeah, this is I had to walk to school.
Right? Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Oh man! Now I also
digital weed.
What are we talking about?
Analog
digital
weed.
Your Instagram of weed.
Number 9.
Okay.
Love is love.
That's got to be both.
It's not. There's no Grateful Dead song called "Love Is Love," apparently. But again, we don't know. But it's definitely a complex cross of Harlequin, Purple Sour Diesel, and Ripped Bubba. Which is a fantastic name.
Bubba.
Ripped Bubba.
I want to try that.
Sounds like a fart.
Yeah.
Someone who ripped Bubba.
At first, when I was reading/writing this, I thought it was Ripped Buddha, which is way better. Like Ripped Buddha, like Buddha gets
like
high
before,
and works out a lot.
Before he got Buddha. Like all fat.
Ripped Buddha.
Dude, Buddha's gotten ripped.
Yeah, Buddha's ripped.
He renounced suffering.
Yeah.
And apparently it just helps his recovery time immensely.
Yeah. And finally, number 10, Casey Jones.
Both.
It is both.
Yeah.
It is absolutely both.
I mean, I could have gotten that.
Right.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Okay.
Casey Jones is awesome, and at some point, I want to do like things I learned while high about Casey Jones and plotting like the 1900s engineer to like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles character to the weed strain.
I guess that kind of was the biggest clue that the guys who came up with Turtles were stoners.
Yeah.
You're looking at like, wait a minute, they named this guy after a Grateful
Dead
song.
Who named a song after a guy that was like trying to stop a train from careening out of control.
Wait, is that a true story?
Yeah, so Casey Jones is like a real actual engineer from the 1900s. Unless it's just lore. But
I thought it was like Paul Bunyan. Like, I thought it was a fake story.
Right, but it is a story, but maybe it's a fake story.
His nostrils were so powerful, he could snort any cocaine he wanted.
What? I don't think
the Dead add the coke.
I think the Dead added the cocaine.
That's
part of the things I learned about Ohio. I'd be like, what's about the engineer, and when did the cocaine come in?
Sean,
and then
we're going to have to research this for the next episode. We're going to have to, because we're out of time, unfortunately.
Oh, wow. It flies. You know, you're having a great time, great movie. moves, great vibes.
It does. But hey, everybody, check out the Bill Walton Mysteries.
Yes.
You can go on Amazon, right? Or please. Audible.
Yes. Yes, I just released the audio version of it.
Awesome.
The other week. So that's very exciting. Love to get your feedback on that. Yeah, give her a listen. Yeah.
Do it. Give
I
her a listen.
I recorded it myself. It took me a long time.
Yeah.
I can imagine. Oh, man. Yeah.
But check it out. It's available right now. Yes. on those various places. Hey, thank you so much for listening. And please remember, as legalization sweeps the country, a lot of Americans still locked up for dealing, possessing, or even smoking marijuana.
Set them free!
Set them free. Get them out of jail.
That's it for us and for Mr. James Kirkland. Thank you for listening to The Way Highway live on Idobe.com or the free Idobe app or subscribing on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. Casey Jones.
CaseyJonesPodcast.com. If you like what you heard, tell everyone you know. And follow us on Twitter at The Way Highway or Instagram at Way Highway.
You can also find Sean at Sean Cowie, me at Justin_where. James, where can they find you on?
You can find me on Twitter at Jamie Kirkland or Instagram James. Kirkland.
Yes.
Sending a shout out to composer Gregory Jenkins, our executive producers Nice Guy Digital and Dr. God Productions, our producers Bronson and Bernardo. Most of all, thank you for listening.
And remember, if you want to ride high, always take the Way Highway.
Bye-bye.
Going my way. Pick me up. I'm thumbing.
Yes.